WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Vatican says the Pope suffered more breathing issues today and he's back on a ventilator and his prognosis remains guarded. Hundreds have gathered outside NOAA headquarters to protest job cuts there. Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen.
We will not allow the illegal actions of Elon Musk to stand. Are we going to let that stand? Oh, hell no.
Illinois man has pleaded guilty to killing seven people and injuring dozens more when he opened fire on an Independence Day parade in Chicago.
The 24-year-old has pleaded guilty to all 69 counts against him. That's 21 counts of murder and 48 counts of attempted murder.
Firefighting crews have made progress against wildfires in the Carolinas that were fueled by dry conditions and strong winds.
Between the police and the planes and the cars and fire engines, and it's new to us.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With warmer temperatures sweeping across the state, the Wisconsin Department of Transportation has ended the frozen road declaration for the entire state. The declaration allows trucks to carry heavier loads in the winter, as the frozen roads are more resilient to the damage caused by the increased weights. With those roads thawing out, however, they could again be susceptible to damage from heavier trucks. Local municipalities are responsible for deciding weight restrictions on their roads and can now start implementing those restrictions again. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to apply for the 2025 elk hunt. According to a press release, the application period for the hunt is open from March 1st until May 31st. Residents can purchase the elk license application online through the Go Wild license portal or in person through a licensed sales agent. When filling out the application, potential hunters will be asked to select the specific zone they're applying for. DNR officials say this year's elk hunt will include more opportunities in the Black River Elk Range. The city of Rice Lake is still seeking input from community members on the potential purchase of the National Guard Armory. The Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs offered to sell the site to the city, which is considering using it as a community center, senior center, or for affordable housing. According to a survey conducted by the Rice Lake Chronotype, none of the plans for the facility have become a clear frontrunner from the public. The city has not made an offer for the property yet, but was given the right of first refusal from the agency. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced approval for a project to replace the bridge carrying 50th Avenue over Wisconsin 29 in the town of Lafayette. According to a press release, Governor Evers signed an over $5 million contract with Haas Sun Inc. for the replacement project. Construction on the bridge is scheduled to begin on March 10th, and work on the intersection of 50th Avenue and County Highway J will begin on March 17th. Construction is scheduled to wrap up in September, and the area will remain mostly open to traffic. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Wisconsin with a loss at Michigan State. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Badgers losing to the Spartans 71-62. Both teams struggled at times with their shooting. What made the difference? Head coach Greg Gard.
Untimely turnovers. And I thought we had a one-point game with about 5-6 minutes to go, and we turned the ball over twice in a row coming in transition. And those are the things, the ones you can't give them a mulligan right back. After we had got them to miss, we got them to miss a free throw, and then some offensive rebounding.
The Badgers play Minnesota Wednesday night. Marquette has a new women's volleyball head coach. Tom Madosa spent the last 7 years at South Carolina. He replaces Ryan Thies, who was hired away by Florida at the NFL scouting combine. Badgers left tackle Jack Nelson from Stoughton, Wisconsin, talked about his dad, Todd, who played for the Badgers, and his younger brother, Barrett, also now on the team.
I mean, it means the world to me. You know, I got a younger brother there right now playing O-line. Got to play a few years with him. You know, kind of put that on your back and be the one to put on for your city, for your family like that.
That's the Badgers' Jack Nelson. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
It's the calm before the storm, with clouds increasing and a chance of spotty sprinkles. High temperatures still smack 50 degrees and tonight stay above freezing. With a few scattered showers tomorrow morning, rain really ramps up tomorrow night. Then it flips to snow on Wednesday, prompting a winter storm watch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we all want clean drinking water. What about road salt? What happens with that? We'll kick that around tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program here, downtown Madison. Overcast skies. It is Monday, March 3rd, 2025. It is a great day to be an American. Great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here on the show. Feeling more like spring. Although they say tomorrow into Wednesday, some much needed rain, by the way. Although be prepared because much of the ground is still frozen. So we're supposed to get 1 or 2 inches of rain, and that's just going to run right off. So maybe some localized flooding. Be aware of that. We repeat it every time we get big rains. Turn around, don't drown. If you see a big, more than a puddle, but if there's water over the roadway, just please don't go through it because you don't know what's underneath. And then that's when a lot of bad things happen. So be aware of that. Maybe some snow, particularly for our listeners up in Amory, Hayward, Eau Claire, WCFW up there, La Crosse area. Most of the snow there. A little bit in Richland Center. Maybe an inch or two right now in Madison. Although this storm track, as it does, can change at any time. So some precipitation Tuesday into Wednesday. And then after that, things are going to warm up. Spring is on its way. Jimmy the Groundhog in Sun Prairie was basically right. An early spring. How about that? Coming up in this hour, another edition of What's Worse, talking about air. Air today. So we're going to have that for you in a little while. Also, a little bit later. And this is, I cannot wait for this story. We here at the All Ball Show, we love any stories involving monkeys. And we have a monkey story for you. We have a monkey story, and where the monkey story comes from is also half the fun. So I'm looking forward to that.
As am I.
So the monkey story is will be arriving in a little while, so stay tuned for that. And we'll talk some Badger basketball. The Badgers, tough game over the weekend, lost to Michigan State 71-62. The Badgers no longer in contention for a regular season Big Ten title, although I believe it's Ken Pom still forecasting the Badgers as a number two seed in the NCAA tournament. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. It doesn't air, I don't think, over the entire network. But here in Madison and WMDX, we have a promo right now from our great farm director from the Midwest Farm Report. She calls herself the fabulous farm babe, Pam Yonke, talking about, and this is real. There's something called the Testicle Festival happening just outside of Madison here later this month, where they bring in, you know, Rocky Mountain oysters. I don't know what goat testicles or whatever. And
I don't know.
They deep fry them. And you put all kinds of sauces on it. Anyway, our ongoing contributor and friend Jeff Perry says on Facebook, Todd, if you'd like to hold your own testicle festival for the show, I would love to be involved. Call me. Thank you, Jeffrey. Appreciate the offer. Maybe, I mean, you know, they have cows on the concourse. Why not testicle festivals on the square?
I think we can make it happen. Todd just turned his head and coughed. And now he's going to be coughing too much to speak probably after I said that.
No, I'm fine.
Take a sip of water.
Lovely time to take a sip of water. 10 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. I want to finish up this story on Social Security. And then we're going to get into Pete Hegseth and the ongoing retributions of Doggy, the made-up Elon Musk department. This is from CNBC, legitimate news source. Interviewed the former, and this is, here's the deal. Much of the news this weekend was all around what happened in the White House on Friday. We covered it for 90 minutes because it was breaking as we were on the air. And it's very important. Don't want to say it's not. The sitting president and vice president of the United States sided with Russia. The Russian official over the weekend saying, here's the quote, "The Trump administration is rapidly changing all foreign policy configurations. This largely aligns with our vision," unquote. That's from Moscow, from the Kremlin. So it's a very big story. But all the fallout, see, they do these things, and you know, Trump himself said, oh, this will be great for television. But here's what's happening that doesn't get much of the news coverage. CNBC, Social Security, has never missed a payment since it began 80 years ago. There are 72.5 million Americans who receive some form of Social Security SSI payments. The former administrator of Social Security, Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, told NBC over the weekend, quote, "Ultimately, you're going to see the system collapse and an interruption of benefits. I believe you'll see that within the next 30 to 90 days. It says people should start saving now," unquote. So Social Security relies on multiple systems and technologies. Those systems and technologies have been the focus, the target, in part, of Elon Musk, criticizing them as unneeded. O'Malley himself told Congress while he was administrator that the agency needed more funding for IT, in other words, tech modernization. O'Malley said DOGE leaders are now making changes at the agency and significant staff cuts have already led to some system outages. Those intermittent IT outages may happen more frequently and for more extended periods of time until there is, quote, a system collapse and an interruption of benefits, unquote. Neither the Social Security Administration nor White House responded to requests for comment to CNBC. Again, if this were not a possibility, why wouldn't the administration or the White House say, this is fake news, this is lies? But they didn't. One of our listeners on YouTube says that most of the programmers do COBOL. COBOL, I think, is a type of programming language. And from 1990 to 2000, it was a mainframe code. It says most of the programmers are my age, 55 plus. And so these young kids, these 19 and 20-year-olds that Musk brought in, they don't know COBOL. It's part of the problem. According to the story, the Department of Government Efficiency, which is not a federal department, and Musk, whom Trump brought in, is not an elected official. And they're looking to slash spending. So whose benefits may be at risk? Experts say the benefit Americans rely on, could be at risk based on the Trump administration's overhaul of the agency. Quote, the American public needs to understand that one of their major social safety nets is in dire jeopardy, unquote, said Jill Hornick, a union official at the American Federation of Government Employees, Local 1395, which primarily represents Social Security offices in Illinois. Hornick said, quote, it'll take a while for the effects to be felt, but they're coming, predicting that what will happen to Social Security is going to be, quote, far worse, unquote, than the planned cuts to Medicaid. For people who are already receiving Social Security benefits, most of that is automated and may not be affected, she said. However, processing new claims, whether it be for retirement or disability benefits, may take longer since those cannot be processed without Social Security employees, she said. So it appears what they're saying is that if you're already getting those automated payments, less likely for you to be affected. More so, the new claims for people going into retirement or those who are trying to get disability benefits. On Thursday, the Social Security Administration sent a notice to employees that gives them until March 14th to decide whether to take an early buyout. Unlike a previous January offer, this now includes service employees. And staffing reductions in that area may impact how quickly the agency processes benefit claims and provides other services. For example, if a woman files for a survivor benefit after her husband passes away, she needs to provide a copy of her marriage license. A Social Security employee then needs to code the system to verify that they have seen that document and the applicant is eligible for benefits, Hornick said. She said, not everybody can do things electronically. Boy, do we know that. Particularly the older adults and disabled individuals who, of course, are the ones that Social Security Administration serves. She says if you don't have people to run an agency that requires hand-on customer service, then of course there's a risk that you could end up with benefits being either denied or interrupted, unquote. Again, the story is at CNBC headline, Social Security has never missed a payment. DOGE actions threaten interruption of benefits, ex-agency head says. I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I think it would be irresponsible for me not to pass on information that I have, that I've found from credible sources, because we don't want to get 3-6 months down the road and have people say, well, Todd, didn't you know this? Well, yeah, I didn't want to scare anybody. Why didn't you tell me? These are the real life implications, folks. Whether you own a farm, you're trying to get CRP payments, whether you're a dairy farmer, whether you're a forest person, whether you get Social Security benefits, all of us rely, mail, how about mail service? All of us rely in some way, shape, or form on federal government much more than we understand or know. And when you slash and burn arbitrarily without taking time to really understand where things could actually be cut, and there are places they could, but you got to use a scalpel, not a chainsaw. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Governor Tony Evers has released his budget, calling this the most pro-kid budget in state history. This is now the fourth time that Evers has put forth a budget proposal, and the three prior were all met with a similar fate. Republicans in the legislature rejected it entirely. Again this year, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the budget dead on arrival. To a certain extent, this is what we've come to expect from this era of divided government in Wisconsin. In previous years, Evers has eventually signed Republican-authored budgets and used his line-item veto powers to make certain changes. But could he play hardball this time around and threaten to veto the entire budget? Is there anything in this pro-kid budget that has to be there? Things like education funding or clean water protections or Medicaid expansion? With everything going on in Washington, now might be the right time for Evers to fight for these proposals and fight for Wisconsinites in any way he can.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Aquí en Civic Media, a la lunes, marzo 3, aquí con Zamers, soy Roberto Alba, con la tal Alba Show. My Spanish isn't fluent.
But
it's are you fluent?
No.
Oh, all right.
I can hear it really well and understand it, but speaking, I tell people, not so much.
I have gringo español. I can get the message across, but I sound like a four-year-old. 43 million people, or 14% of people in the, by the way, that was La Bamba.
By Richie Valens.
By Richie Valens. Long, way before you were born, a great docu-movie called La Bamba about the story of Richie Valens. It's an incredible, incredible story. Incredible movie. Check it out. 43 million people, or 14% of people in the United States, speak Spanish as their primary language. Spanish speakers contribute $2.3 trillion, with a T, dollars a year to our economy, which means more than the gross domestic product of any other Spanish-speaking country in the world. Because of these realities, Donald Trump approved several Spanish language ads during his 2024 presidential campaign. We forget that, don't we? Trump paid for Spanish language ads during the last campaign. It worked. He won the highest percentage for a Republican candidate in decades. But over the weekend in Washington, before he went golfing, Trump is rejecting Spanish speakers with an executive order making English the official language of the United States. A la gran. Pendejete.
Careful there.
What? Here's the deal. Years ago, when people immigrated here, there were papers in your own language, but it was more critical that people learned English right away, because guess what? We didn't have these phones or all these other things, how to learn language easily. Over the years, it became more available and easier to keep your language and live in your own community. Many folks who immigrate legally to the United States are not fluent in English. Never been a requirement before. And so in order to do it legally and fill out the paperwork, of which I can tell you as someone who did a lot of immigration cases, there's a lot of paperwork. Back in the 90s, Bill Clinton, Democratic president, and the Republican Congress under Newt Gingrich said, you know what, let's make it easier for folks. Let's have government forms in both languages. So they did. Worked out really well. And now Trump, after running Spanish language ads during his campaign, now signing the executive order saying no more U.S. forms in Spanish. Ain't that the pot calling the kettle black? It's 25 past the hour, 1 o'clock, time for What's Worse. Let's go. Time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, simply your chance to have your voice heard across all 11 news talk sports stations in the Civic Media Radio Network. Largest privately owned radio network in Wisconsin. No better way to have your voice heard across the state. All right, this is timely, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas is fond of saying. Because we're getting into that time of year. Now it's been very dry over the winter. We're starting now. Going to have some rain tomorrow night into Wednesday. It's going to get moist, to use a word. At least more humid. It's because summer's coming, you understand? Spring is coming. And so this creates the debate. Today's What's Worse, humid air or dry air? What's worse, humid air or dry air? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Don't have it? No problem. We got you. Go to your app store, your Apple or Android device. You'll see a little search bar there. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. It'll pop up on your screen. And away you go. Then just click it. Takes less than a minute. It'll download. It's free. It's the Civic Media app. There you go. 855-752-4842 or text us on the Civic Media app. What's worse, humid air or dry air? Again, humid air or dry air? Zomers, you have a feeling on this?
Neither is great. Like in the winter, I always need to get a bunch of lotion and I get nosebleeds and things like that. But for me personally, I still think humid air is worse just because of how much I overheat. If it's hot and humid, I am much more miserable than when it's cold and dry.
Really?
All right. Because I just get so sweaty and it's miserable for the people around me, presumably. I don't know. My nose is bad.
Kurt, listening on WMDX in Madison on WMDX, says, well, if you change the question to which one is more healthy, then it's humid air. Well, that's not the question, Kurt, with all due respect. The question is, what's worse, humid air or dry air?
Cam and Appleton mentions another thing. Humid air makes me scared for my computers. Yeah, a lot of my hobbies do not like humidity. Like guitars can get wrecked with that. Computers, cardboard from games.
All right. Humid air or dry air? What's worse? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse? Humid air. I mean, it's dry right now. My skin is very dry. I need some lotion. Necesita una lotion. O un novio. También. Regreso aquí en Civic Media. En la Civic Media Radio Network. Vámonos.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Health experts are warning of another tough flu season in Wisconsin next year following a canceled FDA meeting. The agency recently announced the cancellation of its meeting with the Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. The meeting typically sees a committee of independent experts make recommendations about which strains of the flu to target the following winter so mass production of those vaccines can begin before the flu season starts. Wisconsin saw an uptick in respiratory viruses this winter amid lower vaccination rates. A Dane County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Department of Corrections to launch a new program aimed at giving incarcerated mothers and their infants more time together. The lawsuit was filed by the American Civil Liberties Union of Wisconsin and cited a 1991 law requiring the Department of Corrections to provide a mother-young child care program for incarcerated individuals with a child under 1 year old. The program would include accommodations for mothers to be in the least restrictive confinement possible to care for their child. Two women were arrested in Lake Halley last week after a routine traffic stop allegedly led to authorities finding methamphetamine in the car. According to a press release, 46-year-old Shannon Leckleitner was stopped for driving without a rear license plate. Officials say she wasn't making any sense when talking with the officer and displayed indicators of possible drug use. A search of the car allegedly turned up 2 grams of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. Leckleitner and her passenger, 58-year-old Pamela Herfel of Thorpe, were arrested. The Dunn County Humane Society is inviting community members to a fundraising event this weekend. The organization will host the Heart of Dunn County fundraiser at the Mabel Tainter Theater this Saturday, offering residents the chance to view work from local artists with music, food, and a live auction. The funds raised from the event will go towards shelter services, specifically medical care for their animals and adoption efforts. Residents can find more information on the event and purchase their tickets in advance on the DCHS website. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. I'm currently 3 episodes into the new season of Reacher, and so far, I would recommend it as a Pete pick. Actual giant Alan Ritchson has returned as the title character, kicking butt and taking names. Season 3 so far has more of a feel like season 1, where Reacher stays true to the character, giving assistance to the underdog and those in need. Reacher season 3 gets a so far so good rating. Stay tuned. Spoiler alert regarding White Lotus season 2. Season 3 of the hit HBO show is underway. White Lotus is always set at a White Lotus resort, where in episode 1, we learn a murder has been committed, but don't find out who the victim is or who done it until the last episode of the season. Jennifer Coolidge was the victim in season 2 and says she hopes that her on-screen husband, played by John Grise, is the victim in the 3rd season. That seems the obvious choice, but writer-creator Mike White likes to keep the audience guessing. You can catch White Lotus at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights on Max. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the calm before the storm, with clouds increasing and a chance of spotty sprinkles. High temperatures still smack 50 degrees and tonight stay above freezing. With a few scattered showers tomorrow morning, rain really ramps up tomorrow night. Then it flips to snow on Wednesday, prompting a winter storm watch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller and from the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, chair of the musical theater department, Mark Hansen. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Pursuing truth.
roots wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Zomber's on the board. Glad to have you along with us here as we are in the middle of what's worse, an Air edition, not Air Jordan, but literal air. What's worse, humid air or dry air? Now, this is timely because as we go into spring here, it is the transition air phase. You understand? We're in dry air right now. My skin has been particularly dry this year. I've given myself a rash, for goodness sake, just by using my phone. I'm not lying.
You must very diligently apply lotion.
Very, very, very dry. And so now we're getting into more humid air as spring arrives. What's worse, dry air or humid air? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. A few more texts here. Steve in Mount Horeb says humid air is worse, with a couple of emojis like sweating, hot. Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids says, ask your mummy, M-U-M-M-Y. I guess mummies don't like humid air. It makes them decompose.
Yeah.
I don't know, I guess. What else do we have here? This is a DJ listening up in Wausau of a beautiful Bull Vault Radio. Says Todd, I experienced both extremes while living in Texas, the great state. In College Station, you have to become accustomed to being constantly wet with a puddle following you around everywhere. Everyone just accepted it, and it was socially acceptable. In El Paso, you get cottonmouth 24/7. Outdoor activities are miserable. In this case, however, humid air is much worse. Rather be dry than soaking wet. Now, that's DJ in the Saw. Not the Shaw, but the Saw. That's a great point, DJ, and I appreciate you bringing that knowledge, that expertise from Texas. People who have never been there, and I have had the honor and pleasure of being there, people who have never been there do not understand the geographical mass that is the great state. That's what they call it down there, the great state of Texas. Great place, great folks down there. Yep, I've been to the Hill Country, been down to San Antonio, Waco, Dallas-Fort Worth. Traveled, and the way to see Texas, of course, is by roadway. So that's a great point, DJ. Dave in New Berlin says, dry air is worse. My sinuses tend to dry out, and I get a nosebleed. I'm not a fan of hot, humid in the summer, but my nose doesn't bleed when it's humid. All right, very good. What else do we have here? Kurt in Madison says, sorry, I was guessing I was being selfish because I have asthma. Well, you're not being selfish.
Yeah, Kurt had said that humid is better. Yeah. And yeah, I will say, I don't have asthma. One of my sisters does, and she basically just can't go outside in winter.
Ooh, really?
So I recognize
because
that,
it's dry?
Yeah, because it sets off her asthma so bad. Mm. And I recognize that dry air is probably worse because of that. Mm. But selfishly, I still think humid air is worse.
All right. Well, I'm going to say for me personally, dry air is worse. I don't like being dry. I don't like having to, you know, lotion up or get my skin dried out. It just feels weird. So I'll say dry is worse. All right. That's how we play What's Worse. Appreciate y'all playing along. We'll have another edition tomorrow in hour number two, What's Worse. Always glad to have you along. One more quick, sneaking in under the wire. John in Oshkosh, listening to WISS, says humidity by far.
Swamp, but I'll say struggle is real.
That made me laugh, John. That was fantastic. All right. Let's see here. Should we do monkeys first or should we do the Oscars first?
I want to make sure we get these monkeys.
You want to get the monkeys in? All right. Here we go. Introducing this segment, our old friend Kenny Chesney. Here we go.
I made a bucket list. Changed the B to an F. I gave my giver down the finger so it got up and left. People's expectations and ordered up a six pack of chillaxification. If you're a little depressed, feel a little bit lost, baby, ride it on down and then blow it all off. We're all a letter away from perpetual.
There you go. Little Kenny Chesney. That's a great song. Bucket list. How about that? Absolutely fantastic. Love Kenny Chesney. Here's why I put that. And it says play on words, you understand. So here's a play of words. And there, first of all, we here at the show love monkeys. Absolutely love monkeys. We love any story about monkeys. So here's monkey steals tourist phone and manages to grab a selfie. The reason I played the Kenny Chesney song, or had Zombers play it, is the name of the place it happened. And at first, I'm like, how am I going to pronounce this? And then I looked it up. It says a monkey ran away with a French tourist mobile phone in blank city, Thailand. Now, the city is spelled P-H-U-K-E-T. Let me spell that for
gotcha.
You. Let me spell that for you again. P-H-U-K-E-T. In English, we would say the P-H is an F sound.
So it's exactly what Kenny Chesney said.
Followed by bucket.
It's bucket, right. But with a different letter.
Right. And so I'm like, I can't say that. Is it, I was like, is it foo?
No.
I'm like, how do I do that? So I looked it up. It turns out in Thailand, P-H is pronounced with P. And the U is U. The city is called Phuket.
Okay. All right.
Phuket.
We can say that.
We can say Phuket. All right. So a monkey ran away with a French tourist mobile phone in Phuket, Thailand, and left a surprise on it. The paper is called The Tiger. The Tiger reported, after three local Thai tourists retrieved the phone, the tourist noted that the monkey had taken a self video and a parting gift of sorts. The tourist, she identifies herself as Justine Fortemps on TikTok, shared the monkey's handiwork on TikTok on February 28th with the caption, Monkey Hill Attack. In the footage, I've seen the footage in the story. This is a raw story, by the way. In the footage, the young monkey, or it says the young looking monkey. Now, I'm not, how does this person disseminate whether it's a young looking monkey?
Must be a monkey expert.
In the footage, the young looking monkey was holding the tourist's bright blue phone with its front paw, looking up from the phone to the French TikToker dressed in pink. Suddenly, he, the monkey, darts for a tree, and the tourist can be seen worried but laughing at her predicament. The monkey's cinematography included a selfie video showing the monkey sticking his tongue out at the camera before flipping the phone video to film the surroundings. At the end of the day, the French TikToker seemed to get a kick out of the footage on her phone and even made her profile picture a screen grab of the monkey's selfie. The TikTok soon caught the attention of Thai users on the social media platform. The incident occurred at a common tourist attraction that I cannot pronounce, known for its sunset views and monkeys. I mean,
Jeff Perry's right.
Yes, Jeff Perry's right. The number one rule of comedy, monkeys is fun. And he's absolutely right. And if you see the video, it is pretty funny. And first of all, if you're going to be going to a place that's known for monkeys, wouldn't you want to secure all your belongings? And I'm surprised that the woman got her phone back from said monkey. Because they're nothing but trouble, you understand? The monkeys are. All right. Well, anyway, that's
enough. Should definitely people listening. You should definitely look up this video. I just looked
it's pretty
it up.
Good, right?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good. I only wish that we had. Well, we do have a stream, but you know. Anyway, it was a fun story. Never know when you're gonna monkey around. All right. So here last night, the Oscar, Billy Crystal, one of the great hosts of the Oscars of all time. But last night, Conan O'Brien host of the Oscars. I thought he did a fine job. I'm a big Coco fan. That's his fan base is called Team Coco for Conan O'Brien. And so the big surprise, everybody thought this was going to be, maybe Wicked was going to pull off the for biggest or best picture because it was just everywhere. Some people thought it was going to be the, I can't say it, the religious, the movie about the Cardinals and the Pope and all that. Clearly, I didn't watch a lot of movies this year. I was hoping, see, I really wanted our friends at Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers. They're qualified to be nominated for Best Documentary of the Year. And unfortunately, they did not get nominated. And so it was another film that was very, very serious. And that's fine. I'm sure it was a fine film. But anyway. What's the movie Zombers on? You were on the phone there. The Catholic movie.
Conclave?
That's it. Thank you. Conclave. So some people thought Conclave was going to win. Some people thought it was going to be Wicked. Other guesses out there. But Anora. And here's the cool. I mean, I've not seen the film. I kind of want to now. It's a very serious, touchy subject having to deal with sex workers. And it's a young Russian oligarch kid, the son of a Russian oligarch, who starts, you know, having a business relationship, shall we say, with a sex worker in the U.S. And this movie was made for $6 million.
Which in budgets, that's like 5 cents.
Which in Hollywood today is not much at all. Like, at all. And so the cool thing is, here's some people who just wanted to tell a story and did a lot of research, apparently, and told this story very authentically. And this film knocks out all the big studio films in Hollywood. So I think that's a kind of a cool story. But Conan O'Brien, after the film had won a couple of Oscars already, this is what Conan O'Brien said coming out of a break last night at the Oscars.
You know, Anora is having a good night. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's great news. Two wins already. I guess Americans are excited to see somebody finally stand up to a powerful Russian.
Nicely done, Conan.
A lot of applause.
A lot of applause. It was a great Oscar. And Demi Moore, who everybody, she had cleaned up every other award. And then last night she was beaten out by the actor who played the street worker in Anora. So Anora won best lead actor female. Now see, I get very confused because I'm old and I'm told by people in the industry, and I know it's fine. I mean, I'm totally on board with it, but you no longer are supposed to call female people working in acting actresses. You're supposed to just say everybody's an actor, which is fine. I'm fine with that. But last night now, instead of the award saying best actor female, they still call it best actress.
And so it's just confusing.
I'm very confused by that. Anyway, in that category, they thought Demi Moore was going to win. She did not. But big, big night for, I think Wicked won for like costume. And maybe a couple other technical awards, but otherwise, no big
awards.
Yeah,
they won Best Production Design, yeah. Which makes sense. They made enormous and incredibly detailed sets for that movie.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So anyway, I'm sure Pete Schwab will have more tonight on Nightlight with Conrad from 6 until 8. Make sure you tune in to the old Nightlight program tonight. But yeah, it was a fun Oscar night. And all I mean, again, I thought Conan O'Brien did pretty well. The opening was all tributes to, they had numbers from The Wizard of Oz, The Wiz, and then Wicked. So that was a cool way to open it up. And some of the choreography was just absolutely mind-blowing. And how about Halle Berry's dress last night? And Halle Berry herself, she looked stunning.
I did not
see. As did Oprah and Whoopi. There's only one of each. So anyway, come on back. We'll wrap things up on the other side. Maybe go down our bucket list on the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air. My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is squat about that bill?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is squat about that bill?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is squat about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock. On the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you are listening to, followed by a weather update, sports with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, and then the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4, Dom Salvia 4 until 6, and the great Pete Schwabba tonight, Nightlight. I'm sure they will review the Oscars from 6 until 8. Let's go back to the phones very quickly here. This is fantastic. Jack in Merrimack has a monkey story. Jack, this is a great way to end the show. What do you got?
Yeah, I thought I'd cut you up with something positive.
That's fantastic. Anyway. Yeah.
So I was in this probably back in the 1980s sometime. I was in the so-called Republic of Malawi in Africa. Mm. They had a president for life at that time. That's another story. I'm not going to go there today. But I was meeting with a friend who was in the Peace Corps there, and she and I were both climbers, and we were exploring some rock climbing. Actually did some first ascents in Lake Malawi National Park. And so we were camped there, and one afternoon we were having a late lunch, and there was a monkey in the tree, and we had some of our food at one end of the table. And the monkey suddenly dropped down from the tree, grabbed the food, and started to scramble up the tree. Well, being a climber, I jumped under the tree and I started climbing up after the monkey. The monkey screamed, dropped the sandwich that he'd stolen, and basically ran around all over at the top of the tree trying to keep away from it. It was pretty funny to watch.
You out-monkeyed the monkey.
Yeah, normally I don't like scaring wildlife, but this was an exception.
Well, I mean, the monkey got more to bargain for, because the monkey's looking down thinking, this is just a goofy human here, doesn't know anything, I'm a smart, and suddenly the human is going right up after this. The monkey did not know that you were a tree climbing person.
Wait, you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Something like that.
That's great, Jack. I appreciate that. And you got your sandwich back.
Well, it was not really edible after
Well, yeah, right.
But the monkey wasn't going to be stealing any sandwiches for a while, at least not from us.
Well done, Jack. Thanks for the great story, Jack at Merrimack. See, once you start going down the road of monkey stories, I mean, just the fun ensues naturally. It's fantastic.
Weird animal stories in general.
Yeah, exactly. My guess is our friend Peter Rapine will have that story for us in a couple of weeks. But I thought, I can't wait 2 weeks. We're gonna go to that now. Also, I wanted to because we said at the top of the show we would touch on this big sports story yesterday. Wisconsin men's basketball, tough loss against Michigan State, 71-62. The Badgers led by 2 at the half. They shot like 3 of 17 from the three-point range, could barely make a three-pointer to save their lives. And even with that, they were within 2 or 4 with like 5 minutes to go. And then they had a couple of turnovers, back-to-back turnovers, in which Michigan State scored. And then the Badgers just went dry down the stretch. Coach Greg Gard said he was actually happy with some of the looks on some of those missed threes, but just couldn't get him to fall. Badgers played aggressively right through the game. I love that about him. But would have liked to have seen him pound it in the paint just a little bit more. But hey, look, I'm not winning any Coach of the Year awards. Just a fan. Michigan State solidified its position as the front runner for the Big Ten title after the key win against Wisconsin. And also they beat Maryland. Remember we talked about that on the last second half-court shot, beat Maryland. Michigan remains in contention for a share of the title, needing victories in their final games against Maryland and Michigan State. I mean, the whole thing could come down to that final game, Michigan-Michigan State. Wisconsin's title hopes were dashed after that loss to Michigan State, but the Badgers remain a strong contender for a deep NCAA tournament run. Illinois, this was a big game right after the Badger game. Illinois showcased its potential with a decisive win over Michigan, keeping their Illinois' NCAA tournament hopes alive. Several teams, including Iowa, USC, Northwestern, battling for the remaining spots in the Big Ten tournament. Remember now, since the Big Ten went to 18 teams, not all teams are going to get into the Big Ten tournament. Wisconsin, of course, safely. Right now, Wisconsin is trying to stay in the top four so they get a double bye in that tournament. So we will see. Badgers have a good shot of finishing in the top four, getting the double bye. Could make a run deep into the Big Ten tournament. And right now, as we said earlier, Badgers being forecast as a 2 or 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. Why is that important? Because one of the regional games in the first round, or one of the sites, is Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. It is very possible if the Badgers can secure a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, their first round games would be at Fiserv in Milwaukee, which could propel them on to the second weekend of the Sweet 16. So the Badgers certainly have something to play for, and they will do that on Wednesday. I think I said earlier it was Tuesday. I was wrong. It is Wednesday, March 5th. The Badgers will be in action up in the Twin Cities, taking on the Golden Gophers, Minnesota, 7:30. Pregame show at 7. You can hear it on the Civic Media app or select stations around Wisconsin. Great show today. Appreciate you being along. Luke Mathers will be here tomorrow. Thanks to Zommers. Thanks to you. Stay tuned next. Maggie Dawn, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, this is Todd Allball saying keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow. Banging on your drum. Keep banging on and your day will come. Keep banging on your drum.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Pat Kreitlow. On Tuesday, the human impact of letting the world's richest man cut health care for veterans in Wisconsin. Our guest is Lou Ann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Day 1. The hardest day. The day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Pope has suffered some new breathing issues, and he's back on ventilation.
We're getting this discouraging, worrying news tonight of these two episodes of acute respiratory failure.
CBS's Seth Doan in Rome. It's another setback in the Pope's two-week battle to overcome pneumonia. Protesters were outside NOAA's headquarters in Maryland today, angry over cuts to their workforce.
NOAA is 12,000 experts here to help, to fly into hurricanes, to deploy underwater sensors.
An Illinois man pleaded guilty today to killing several people and injuring dozens more at an Independence Day parade in suburban Chicago. Outside the courthouse, parade goers like this woman say they are still recovering.
We can all heal. Our path to healing is beginning.
Sentencing for Robert Cremo will come April 23rd. He's charged with 21 counts of first-degree murder. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.